Okay, the next thing that's up here is I'm going to talk a little bit about the First Families Project. And everybody should have a list of the First Families in their folder. Oh, also, if any of y'all that don't know, if you brought your computers and you want to get online, we do have the Wi-Fi, which Eric made arrangements to have Wi-Fi on our computers here. So anybody that can text that, we got the name and the password on here. And thank you, Eric. We appreciate it very much. You went through all the struggle to have this for us. Everybody loves the internet. Yeah. Anyway, let me see here now. Probably right under my nose, yeah. We have 56 names. There's probably more than 56 on this page because some of them are just cross-reference to other names like Danner and Tanner. But it's just one biography. And on the Seifert, we have Matthias Seifert ready, but we don't have Alexander there. But like the Reverend Seifert said, they came kind of around the same decade, but one was a little bit more difficult to document than others. But I have so many people asking me about how do I get my ancestor's name on this list, and just like the lady that asked me a little while ago. And this has been, we've been doing this for quite a while. We've been through a lot of evolutions on how to get it done. And the point of doing the First Families was to have the immigrants that came and have them documented, well documented. And that's, you know, an accurate sources and documentation for our families so that the people today can connect their ancestors to the first immigrants. But that being said, it's not very easy. And I thought it was going to be easy, but it was not easy. It's hard. And sometimes the documentation is just not there. And searching for it can be really hard. But if any of you want to, like with the Rump family, if you want to submit, the way I've decided to do it now is, if you'd like to just submit like an essay on your family, the immigrant, everything you know about that immigrant and their first generation family, and now we have some who've gone into the second and third, but if you want to just stick with first and second, it makes it a lot easier. And then maybe toward the end, if you could let me know where you got your information from. Or if you don't know where it came from, you can explain your how you deducted a certain thing, how you arrived at that, your reason for arriving at what you think. So I can take that, if you can do that for me, and I can take that plus Lynn and Margaret and Jim Rickenbacker, they are big help. We do most everything, not everything, but most everything, and pull it together. And by now, we're all kind of familiar with the sources and where all the information comes from. But that being said, there's still some tough stuff out there that we can't find. But we'll make an effort, and I do have a lot of names with a lot of information with them, but it's just getting those things documented, getting them, getting the sources. So, yes, sir.
Who might be interested in the number of names that you came up with when we first started this project as potential? In other words, what we need is people to send the information in. That's what we needed. But what was the number that you
came? It was about 1,600 names.
Well, the 1,600 possible to go on this list.
Yeah.
So we need 1,600 folks to send it to her.
So. That is, although I will say that includes the Germans and the Swiss and maybe some other allied or connected families too. But, you know, we're trying to focus on the Germans and the Swiss.
Yes. And if I could just throw in here, the answer to why your family hasn't been written up in the newsletters is the same as the answer to why you don't have a first family.
Right.
If you haven't sent us the information. We try to do as much as we can at our end, but we really do rely on.
The other thing is, it's very time consuming. Extremely time consuming. And it takes sometimes months to get one together. I mean, we like, and bless their hearts, I mean, Martha and Lynn and Jim and the rest that are trying to help, we're going back and forth with it, you know, to make sure it's right. I mean, because that's what we want accuracy. And we want you to be able to say, this is exactly what happened. You know, these are my ancestors.
Is there a date that establishes, like, in 1735, the first people that established Orangeburg? Is that
right? 1735.
Because there's a whole list of their lands that they received.
Right. Right. Well, the date range which we go by is 1735 up until the Revolutionary War, if they came in that time
period.
Okay,
so including all those people.
Oh, yes.
So yeah. That's almost three generations.
If you look at it that way.
Well, it is. I mean, because the third Abraham Rump was in the Revolutionary War.
Right. Well, that was kind of what we decided we had to have a cutoff period. But the earlier ones, the first couple of shiploads, I would really like to get those, all of those, you know, the Swiss that came, and then later on the Germans, or a little bit later than the Swiss.
And you're also the non-Germ.
Right. Because they came here and, you know, married with the English and the other families too. So we do those families too.
You haven't turned it down, have you?
No.
Okay.
But basically, I'm hoping that doing it in essay form, because it was kind of difficult for people to understand how to do it, you know, to begin with. If I could just get an essay form, but I also need to know where you got your information and you know, any explanation of how you arrived at a conclusion. So, any more questions? I hope I covered it all. I'll be out here at the table, and I do have a book. I have two volumes with every all these people are in the book, two volumes. And with some of them, I do have some source documentation, copies and so forth, maps, and some of them I don't. But if you want to look through those books to get information about your family, then just come to my table and I'll be there to answer any questions.